This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page. إن شاء الله تعالى today we are on page 181, which is the final page of the ninth juz of the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal. In the previous episode, we spoke about some of the other principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us. Some of them that we can extract from the Battle of Badr, and some of them just generally from the blessings that Allah azza wa jalla bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims, the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And from those blessings is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the believers from that difficult situation when they were living in Mecca, and the oppression that they faced and the torture and the hardship that they went through, by extracting them from that situation, allowing them to go to Medina, live there, settle there, flourish there, and the many blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla bestowed upon them subsequently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also gave to us some principles concerning how those people who believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should not betray the trusts of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The trust of Allah being obedience to Him, worship of Him, iman in Him, adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah. So betraying that trust is something which is a major thing in this religion, and obviously there are different levels of that trust. The greatest of that trust to be breached would be to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then to innovate in the religion, to perform or to commit major sins and to commit minor sins and so on. These are all different types of breaking the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. And from those principles, Allah azza wa jalla mentions that if we are people of taqwa, who are conscious of Allah, who do our utmost and try our best to the best of our ability to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, be mindful of Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to us guidance, which allows us to distinguish between truth and falsehood. He will expiate our sins and forgive us, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will bestow upon us from His great bounty and from His great mercy. In the final verses that we took in the last episode, Allah Azza wa Jalla described or reminded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the different schemes and plots that the Quraysh made against the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it was to try to kill him, whether it was to try to exile him, whether it was to try to imprison him, and how Allah azza wa jalla overcame their schemes, and how that then they increased, or they used to increase in their arrogance and insolence by rejecting the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling it ancient fables or stories, and how they used to demand to see Allah's punishment if it was truly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla responds to those demands in the verses that we're going to continue with from today. We continue with verse number 33, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما كان الله ليعذبهم وأنت فيهم وما كان الله معذبهم وهم يستغفرون. But Allah will not send them punishment whilst you are in their midst, nor would He punish them if they sought forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that from the differences between this ummah and the ummahs that came before, as it mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Allah, is that Allah wouldn't destroy this ummah, our nation, in the way that previous nations were destroyed in a single punishment. And Allah azza wa jalla accepted that du'a. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah wouldn't cause that punishment to fall upon them whilst you are with them. Whilst you are with them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst them in their midst. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Mecca. He resided there. They're saying, we want to see Allah's punishment in the form of stones descending upon us from the heavens, or some other painful torment coming to us. That Allah azza wa jalla is saying that we wouldn't send that punishment whilst you are amongst them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his station, because of his position, because of the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for him. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Nor would Allah Azza wa Jal punish them if they sought forgiveness. Does this refer to, and the scholars of Tafsir differ here as to whether that refers to the forgiveness of the mu'mineen amongst them, because amongst them there were people of Iman, either Muslims who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even before that those people who used to shun their idolatry and their practices of shirk, and they used to call out to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Or is it the people themselves, because amongst them are those who, even though they're people of shirk, in certain times they will turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. As we know, they would call to Allah Azza wa Jal at certain times upon Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Is it because of that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also may rescind or cause that punishment not to fall upon them? Either way, these are two principles that we can take and benefit from. Number one, the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number two, to make istighfar. When you in the community or the people of a community are constantly making tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, istighfar to Allah Azza wa Jal, it is something which benefits not only the individual but the community as a whole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays punishment, delays famine and drought and other types of calamities from befalling because of the istighfar of those people. So if you have in your household people who are making constantly istighfar, you always hear them saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, or Allahumma tub alay, or whatever it may be, whichever formal wording they're using to ask for Allah's forgiveness, for his repentance, then those are people that Allah has honored and blessed, and you should be honored because you are with them and listen to their istighfar and are being encompassed within that istighfar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or in a community in general, the more people in the community that make tawbah, turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why we have things like Salatul Istisqa, when you go out and make rain prayer. The Prophet ﷺ said, come out whilst you're in a state of humility, humbleness, making tawbah to Allah, istighfar to Allah Azza wa Jal, giving sadaqah, doing good. That's what a community should be. And that is how Allah Azza wa Jal delays or removes from them calamities. But when people become heedless of istighfar, heedless of making tawbah, then that is a community where they are now becoming more and more distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal continues in verse 34. وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَهُ إِنْ أَوْلِيَاءُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and yet why should Allah not punish them when they bar people from the sacred mosque, although they are not its rightful guardians? Only those mindful of Allah are its rightful guardians, but most of the disbelievers do not realize this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah Azza wa Jal has lifted his punishment from them because of the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because amongst them, in one way or another, there is istighfar that is being made. Allah Azza wa Jal then says here in verse 34, and why wouldn't Allah punish them? Meaning they are deserving of the punishment of Allah. It's being stopped and blocked for other reasons. Not because they don't deserve it, not because it's not something which would otherwise have fallen upon them. They are deserving of the punishment of Allah. Why? وَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Because they are barring people from coming to Allah's sacred house, the Kaaba, al-Masjid al-Haram, and worshipping Allah alone, and calling upon Allah alone, as they were doing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. As we know, the Quraysh would become upset, and they would threaten the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on occasion, they harmed him for worshipping by the Kaaba. And that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other companions, many of them, weren't even able to do that, weren't even able to get that far to worship by al-Masjid al-Haram or by the Kaaba, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, aren't they deserving of that punishment when this is what they do? وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ. And these people are not the awliya of the house, or the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the awliya of al-Masjid al-Haram. These aren't the people who are the awliya of Allah, or in the other tafsir, they're not the people who are the guardians, the protectors of al-Masjid al-Haram. They claim to be its guardians, its custodians, the people who are looking after the Haram and the Kaaba and so on and so forth, but they're not its true guardians, because the true guardians of the Haram are not those people who commit shirk and turn to other than Allah and have kufr in Allah Azza wa Jalla and reject Allah's revelations. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqun, but rather the true guardians of Allah Azza wa Jal, or of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are those who believe in Allah, are those who believe in the prophets of Allah, are those who believe in the revelations of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are people of taqwa, people of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who worship Allah azza wa jal sincerely, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but the majority of these people do not know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in verse 35, the evil that the Quraysh used to do, and how therefore they're not from the awliya of Allah or the guardians of the haram. وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Their prayers before the house are nothing but whistling and clapping, so taste the punishment for your disbelief. This is the reality of their worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is how they would honor the Kaaba. They would use the Kaaba to whistle, to clap, meaning that this is how they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ignorance, all of it is ignorance. They're not worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal in the way that He commanded, because they're worshipping alongside Allah Azza wa Jal all of these idols that they've created and made for themselves. They're not worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal in the way that He honored, or that in the way that He commanded and the way that He legislated, because they would do as they pleased. They would make people make tawaf naked, for example. They would have idols upon Safa and Marwa. They wouldn't go out themselves, the Quraysh, to Arafah in Hajj. They would say, we don't only go so far as Muzdalifah. Arafah is for the people who are from Quraysh. They would manipulate, twist and change the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of worship that they have. All clapping and whistling, meaning that it has no substance. That there's nothing that is truly there that will connect them to Allah Azza wa Jal because of their shirk and their kufr and their ignorance. And if you look at many of the religions today and their practices in terms of worship, it is of a similar vein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore honored this ummah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by giving them acts of worship that truly connect them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're done with ikhlas, with sincerity, according to the way that they should be in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we make wudu, when we pray, when we perform hajj, when we fast in Ramadan, when you give zakah, and all of the other acts of worship that we do, if they're done with sincerity, correctly, then you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're asking of Allah alone and turning to Allah alone and worshipping Allah azza wa jal alone. This was not the way of the people of Quraysh. This wasn't the way of those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. So you will taste the punishment because of your disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues describing the evil in verse 36. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. They use their wealth to bar people from the path of Allah, and they will go on doing so. In the end, this will become a source of intense regret for them. They will be overcome and herded towards the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks here about the enmity that the mushrikeen had, and the schemes and the plots that they devised. The enmity that they had towards Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the schemes that they devised in order to stop people and bar them from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that it wasn't just about their words, it's not just about their propaganda, it's not just about their actions or the physical violence and harm that they would perpetrate against the Muslims. They were willing to spend wealth and money, and great sums of wealth and money, in order to stop people from accepting the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something which we see in the world today. The people who don't worship Allah azza wa jal, they do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here. Calling to other than Allah, barring people, trying to find ways to obstruct them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finding ways to misguide them from Allah azza wa jal. And to do so, they will spend tremendous amounts of wealth to fight the religion, to fight Islam, to fight the Muslims in one way or another. And they're willing to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who disbelieve will spend their wealth in order to bar people from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what they do. So that people don't accept Tawheed. They don't understand Islam in its true, pristine, pure form. They don't understand the true concept of what it means to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, but rather through many other different ways, whether consciously or subconsciously, directly or indirectly, intentionally or unintentionally, they are spending their wealth in order to divert people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. And they will go on doing so. And especially, and these verses in particular speaking about those people who intentionally do so, like the Quraysh, who are willing to spend their money to equip their armies to fight the Muslims, to equip people to fight the Muslims, to pay people in order to go and fight the Muslims and kill them. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. They will spend that wealth. That money will be spent for that cause. And look at, therefore, the difference between the Muslim and the non-Muslim, or the believer and the enemy of Islam. The believer is the one who has that money, even if it is a small amount, and they're spending it to spread Allah's religion, spread the knowledge of Islam, call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring and guide people to Allah azza wa jal. Whereas here Allah azza wa jal is saying these people are spending it to bar people from Allah's path. They will do so. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. They will spend it. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرًا. But that will be upon them a source of regret, because they won't achieve their aims, they'll have lost all of their wealth, and when they see the outcome of what they have done, or the sins that they accumulated for what they have done, it will be the greatest source of regret for them. ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. And they will be overcome, because there is no amount of wealth that can overcome Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no amount of money that can withstand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will be overcome and they will be defeated. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. And the disbelievers will be gathered towards the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 37, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَيَرْكُمَهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah will separate the bad from the good, place the bad on top of one another, heaping them up all together and put them in the hellfire. They will be the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this way, He differentiates between people. Taqwa, Iman, the way people act, the acts of worship, what they spend their wealth in. Allah azza wa jalla differentiates between people, between the good and the pure, and between the bad and the evil. And it becomes clear and distinct then by the actions of people which one of those two camps they fall into. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. That Allah may differentiate and separate the good from the bad. وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. And then Allah will place the evil in terms of their money, in terms of their wealth, in terms of their people, the people, in terms of their actions. He will heap them one on top of the other. Why? Because when they're going to be thrown into the fire, they're not honored. They're not welcomed into the fire. They are discarded into the fire. They are thrown into the fire. They are cast into the fire. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they will be heaped up one upon another. فَيَرْكُمَهُ جَمِيعًا. Heaping them up all together. فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. And all of them will be placed into the fire. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those are the people who will be the true losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in verse 38 goes on to say, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ وَإِنْ يَعُودُوا فَقَدْ مَضَتْ وَإِنْ يَعُودُوا فَقَدْ مَضَتْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Tell the disbelievers that if they desist, their past will be forgiven. But if they persist, they have an example in the fate of those who went before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives to them this warning. It is a promise and a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says to them, say to them, meaning address them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speak to these disbelievers and tell them to stop the evil that they're doing, the misguidance that they're espousing, the many ways and forms or many ways and schemes that they have in order to bar people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Advise them and tell them that if they desist, إِيَّنْتَهُ, if they stop what they're doing, if they stop their evil, if they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, if they have the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stop, يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Allah will forgive them for all that they did in the past. And that is the beauty of Islam. Accepting Islam wipes away all of the sins that came before it. For a new Muslim, accepts, wipes away all of the sins that came before Islam. And the act of Tawbah wipes away everything that came before it as well. Two amazing acts of worship. The first is for a person who realizes the truth and they accept the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. That person becomes a Muslim, they enter this religion as if they have no sin. Allah forgives them, as we see in this verse, and as is mentioned in numerous hadith of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the promise of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Stop your evil, stop your misguidance, stop calling people to that path, and turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. How do they stop? By having Tawheed of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's the meaning here. It doesn't mean just simply that they stop in terms of speaking, because there are many who don't necessarily do evil or harm, those people aren't going to be forgiven because they're still upon disbelief. What he means by stopping is stop having disbelief. Stop being disbelievers and calling to the path of disbelief, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive you for all of your past sins. وَإِن يَعُودُوا. But if you persist or you continue and you insist on doing this, that which you did before, of harming the believers, of calling to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, of barring people from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, فَقَدْ مَضَتْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Then we have already given you an example in the fate of those who went before. And that is why the Quran is full of the stories of the past nations. As we covered in some detail in Surah Al-A'raf, the story of Nuh and the story of Hud and Salih and Shu'aib and Lut and Musa alayhi mustaratu wassalam, as you know, let alone the untold many stories that we don't know of in terms of detail, those nations that Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed. When they didn't turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla, when they didn't leave off their shirk and their kufr, when they didn't leave off harming the Muslims and oppressing them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them or sent upon them his punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you persist in that way, then you too will have a similar fate to those who came before you. Whether it's in the form of one punishment or another, or whether it's in the form of death that will then lead to the punishment of Yawmul Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 39, addressing the believers, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ فَإِنِ انْتَهَوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. So fight them until there is no more persecution and all worship is devoted to Allah alone. If they desist, then Allah sees all that they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, commanding the believers that they should fight until there is no more fitna. The word fitna is used, and the meaning of that, according to the scholars of tafsir, is shirk, until there is no shirk left upon the earth by Allah's permission. And this is obviously a verse that speaks about fighting, but as we've said before, with its conditions, with its rulings, with its principles that are mentioned in the books of fiqh, and in the way that it is done according to the rules of the sharia, not just people doing whatever they want, vigilantly taking matters into their own hand, not applying the rules of the sharia, indiscriminately killing people who shouldn't be fought or killed, and breaking therefore the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather this is addressing those people who are the rulers of the Muslims, the people who have these affairs in their hands, like for example the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they should fight the people until there is no more persecution or evil left. And the religion is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. فَإِنْ انْتَهَوْا. And if these people stop and they desist what they are upon of evil and dhulm and oppression, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla sees all that they do. In the final verse of the ninth juz of the Quran, verse number 40, and therefore the final verse that we will take today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. But if they pay no heed, then be sure that Allah is your protector, and He is the best protector and the best helper. If they turn away from this offer from Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't stop their evil, they don't stop their oppression, they don't do as Allah commands here in these verses, and they persist and they continue to do evil, which therefore means that they will continue to oppress you, continue to torture you, continue to try to kill you, continue to try to destroy you and your religion, as the Quraysh did throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Battle of Badr wasn't the end, it was the beginning of a series of other battles that would take place. Look at how often they came back and tried to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to kill him, his many enemies that tried to harm him, as well as the believers. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. And if they turn away, as often they do, and they ignore these commands and reminders of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. They know that Allah is your true protector. Allah will protect you, and Allah will protect all of the believers. So you don't need them, and you don't need anyone else. Allah is enough for you, and Allah is sufficient for you. نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. And how amazing is it to have Allah as a protector, and to have Allah as a helper. The one whom Allah protects, nothing can harm in this life or the next. And the one whom Allah helps, no one can overcome in this life and the next, irrespective of what they may have, and the powers and the schemes that they think that they have, they can never overcome or stand before or withstand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the believers are told here that no matter what happens, you have Allah and Allah is sufficient for you, and Allah never forsakes the believers. And with that, we come to the end of the tafsir of the 9th juz and the tafsir of today's episode. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He gives us the ability to remain steadfast and firm upon this religion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His mercy and forgiveness upon us and upon our Muslim brothers and sisters, and that Allah Azza wa Jal makes our affairs easy and keeps us firm in times of trial and in times of difficulty and hardship. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.